face.
Welcome to Beyond the Here Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau, and this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thoughts, new thinking, new ideology than you've been taught to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to be discussing what happens when someone passes. Now, it's important because everybody has their thoughts and ideas about the way they were raised or what they've come to believe from the so many areas and avenues out there. And I find it really kind of sad because there is an actuality and then there's the fantasies that are out there as well as to what happens. There are many people that actually believe that this is it. One life. We live just this one life to the end, that's all. And they believe that there's nothing after this, which is also sad. So you must understand through my work as a metaphysical teacher for over 50 years now, it is with deep, rich study, but I always remain a very hard and fast skeptic. I think it's important because there's so much garbage out there, especially in today, of all the commercialism that exists. So it's important that I share that information that helps all of us to evolve into our highest place for evolution. Because the only purpose of this life is soul growth. That's it. Now, what ends up happening is when someone passes in Western world, we become very sad, very tearful, remorseful, grief-stricken. And that's Western world. Unfortunately, this is what's been taught by religious or factions. Okay. Now, in India, when someone passes, they completely, with high respect, put the body into a crematorium or cremation phase, and then they party for 3 days with good food and celebrate the passing of that person's soul out of Earth School 101. They mourn for 3 days when you're born. And I always like to share and say, oh, you're back. Oh, my God. Oh, no. I hope you get through this. But it's important for you to understand that that's a huge population. And they have it in the right respect because they had worked in their civilization to be more spiritually aware, spiritually connected. Whereas in Western civilization, due to the basis of need to control by certain factions, we have not been taught this portion. So what feels like 90 years, 60, 80, whatever the time frame of a life may be, it is actually only 2 minutes long. Einstein's theory of relativity, time is only relevant on the earth. So what ends up happening is we ask permission. That's a myth too, the cliche, I didn't ask to come here. Yes, you did. You ask permission. You actually put in your application with the divine hierarchy from God Creator, literally, to come to Earth School specifically at this exact time with the exact experiences, and you even choose your parents, mother and father, because you get to see those experiences before you're born. So these are things that people don't understand is an entire process because you see, we are not this body. We are one soul that lives forever. And we keep getting in these cute bodies, nationalities, genders, and religions for our greater soul growth and to become more divine or divine-like. Now there is man's laws, which is the problem on the planet. And then there is God creator or universal divine law. And so we're all supposed to be learning what divine law is because man has diluted and polluted universal or divine law to serve their needs for, again, control and domination. Now, so if we hear that Aunt Polly has passed on, and Aunt Polly was really good to us when we were young, we get a little sad, we get a little teary, and people closer to Aunt Polly will go perhaps into Aunt Polly's mate will be very grief-stricken. This is unfortunate because when a soul or a person passes on and the soul actually leaves the body, all the grief the loved ones and friends and relatives have causes them severe pain for as long as we hold that grief. Severe, horrible pain. This is not conjecture, remember. It's not a belief, not a theory. This is actually what happens. And it's the pain because the soul is trying to release from that physicality, the physical earth, and go back to the higher plane or the astral planes. Now, this is important because if we are all severely distraught over Aunt Polly, Aunt Polly has to go get back out of line, get back off the bus and go, what do you want? And try to fix things and hang and go. And then she gets back in the line again to go on to complete her astral journey. And the soul is much more superior than the human body. So without being taught this, we, without realizing it, cause distortion. We cause misdirection for our loved ones and friends and family that pass forward because we didn't learn this. Now, you know, when you graduate from high school or try to have your 16th birthday, or we have a party, don't we? Don't we celebrate for them, especially when they graduate? Big old party with great food. Well, this is Earth School 101. And that soul that just passed, our beloved one, just graduated from Earth School 101, whatever grade they were in. There are a lot of grades here, unfortunately. It's a tough school, or can be many times. But we tend to make it tough because we don't have these brilliant understandings. So if a woman mourns her husband for 15 years, guess who's being held with intense pain for a long time? That poor soul that's trying to complete the self. Now, what ends up happening as well is we actually have three parts. There's what is called a paraspirit, the spirit and the body. All three essences have to travel forward to the astral plane. If one is left because it's confused, trapped by everybody else's thoughts or feelings, it can't go and it can't complete its evolutionary journey. And guess what? You see, it makes no difference if you make it through this lifetime. We all promise to make it. We all promise to inspire everybody else to. So what happens is that so in their confusion, because they've forgotten the path or how to go, or with our, how can I say it, grief, what ends up happening is, and our distortions about what happens after death, that soul remains confused and separates from those other two parts. Now they're waiting for, well, perhaps eternity, for that third part to connect before they can finish their completion of this soul's journey. So, or this life, from completing this life to go on to what lies in between, and until they can go to other realms or other sojourns in other lives. We tend to come back every 100 to 125 years on average. There are exceptions when there is a traumatic death, especially with wartime. Some souls try to jump back in very quickly, which is very hard on the soul. It has double duty to do. It has to finish off the lessons from the previous life, as well as take on this new mantle way too soon. And it's very tough. This earth life can be very stressful, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. There's no respite. There's no rest time in between for that soul. Now, this is important as we go through this journey to understand those phases. We are born, which is doorway in. We are born exactly at the moment in time our souls have planned with permission from the divine universe to come in exactly at that location and place. There are no mistakes on the planet, no accidents, none. The divine universe has the greatest computer going in the entire world. Now, before we're born, we promise the exact time, the exact way, and the exact moment we're returning home to God Creator. No mistake. A couple of exceptions. Okay, so in anybody's birth chart with advanced or astrology and esoteric astrology, spiritual astrology, you can see this, that the exact time the person chose to go is there. The exact minute is actually there. But a master astrologer is taught not to tell the person because they'll abuse that period. Well, if I know I have to this date, I'll just do this, this, and then the last minute. Human life, it will tend to abuse that privilege. So you're not to tell the person. But you can see the way the person chose to go, whether it was through. And we get very creative. We can't go home, as I always say, the way we got here. So we get very creative with how we pass or how we leave, the soul leaves the body. Some have, you know, in their sleep, natural causes. Others have an accident. Others have a long illness, some a short illness. So it's the way, some murder, some accident, intense accidents. So do you understand we get creative because there's something we're to learn even by the way we've chosen the path to release the soul from the body? Now remember, once we're born, though, divine law states, once we choose to come back to Earth School 101, we only retain 1% of that memory, because this is school. And if you had the book and the test, why would you have to be here? This is Earth School 101, I like to call it, okay? So we have a hard time completing all the studies we do in one life. So we were granted by divine God Creator to come to be born again. That's what born again really means. It was never intended to be one of man's 35,000 religions that man invented. That's the problem. God did not. It actually meant, I love you so much, you will be born again to clear up. So that soul chooses, as I said, usually every 100 to 125 years. We're supposed to be able to return home just as easily, to follow that divine loving right now, light, to return home. Now, the eerie thing is now I see a lot of the darkly inclined information trying to come in as everybody's awakening. Oh, you don't have to follow the light. Don't follow the light. You could just come back down. Well, that's kind of like what the elite do. They jump right back in that family and continue those distortions and domination and control, which is a problem. There is some heavy karma for that. There are no skip steps. Anything you do to someone will actually be done to you. You'll choose the opportunity after you've learned that that was your mistake. When you're ready to complete it, you will endure that same thing that you have done for others or to others. No skip steps. No mistakes on the planet. A beautiful symphony. So we'll learn to treat others as well as we would like to be treated. So it is an extremely important process in this lifetime to understand that. So what if somebody commits suicide? Interesting. I've had clients through my career over 40 years of doing psychic readings and consultations for clients. I've had several who have had their partners or mates or very someone close choose to commit suicide. And I watch to investigate. I'm a heavy-duty researcher, I always do. And I found it's not for those Western ideologies, oh, that person was lonely, oh, that person was sad. What I actually found underneath is that person was so angry at one particular person that they're trying to get back at, out of revenge, to make that person that is alive, when they hear the news that that person has committed suicide, feel sad or guilty. Do you understand? That's manipulation. And that is the one thing we're not to do. If you promise to be here 50 years and you take your life at 40, you are taken to a special location. And the guides or hierarchy at that time will take you, actually they're called medical assisters on the astral, and they'll say, hi there, come over here. You know, not with that group, you're over here. You will stay into what is termed the first level of what is a hellish world, astral plane, seven upper levels, seven lower levels. And this is, again, not theory. You will go there for 1 week, and then you will be processed back to the planet in a lesser location than you were before, in worse and dire circumstances than you were before, and 10 times harder to learn the same lessons till you complete the contract. So if you took it at 40 and you are put right back here after that week, you will complete at 10 and then pass at 10 years old, but you must complete the lessons. Remember, no skip steps, none. So it is the one thing, it's kind of like I always say slapping God in the face to take your life. You promise a contract to the divine universe, God Creator. You keep that contract. And each case, personally, I've seen underneath, and I've seen where the spirit doesn't want to go, tries to get the other person back. I had one client that was 26 years old, and her husband was of a different culture than she, and he apparently started to treat her poorly. Well, she needed a divorce after being physically assaulted by this person, and he went to live home with his family. Well, sure enough, when she asked for the divorce paperwork to be signed, he said, I'll give you back your signed divorce. And at 26 years old, he committed suicide. That wouldn't be enough. What ended up happening was just after that suicide, she was grief-stricken. The family, of course, blamed her. She went for the funeral. They had to have it very rapidly in their religious beliefs. What ended up happening, she would wake up, her cat would scream or holler and look at something, and she would be feeling hands strangling her around the neck as tight as she could. She would wake up gasping and screaming, go to the mirror and see handprints on her neck. And she knew it was the soon-to-be ex that had just committed suicide. This went on several times over a period of 3 months. And then she gave me a call and asked if I could do something. I said, number one, When someone passes on, you move all their belongings, either give it away to other family members, give it away to Goodwill, or throw it away. Do not keep anything that they have or they had in this life. If they had a certain chair, a certain area where they kept their bed or where they stayed, move it out of the way, because it causes them to, with that, those energies and attachments still, to want to pull back here and not follow their journey forward that they're supposed to complete. And I did the work to clear it, and it worked. And I said, you need to move out of that apartment. Do you understand? It was a huge complex. So she found that there was another apartment on the other side of the building in another wing. And she happily moved upstairs to that one. And then lo and behold, just a few weeks into it, she called me again with this same strangling feeling. Couldn't breathe. Had to wake up out of her sleep, screaming out of that need. And then again, seeing the prints on her hand and hearing his voice, cat with the back arched. So what ended up happening at that time was, I said, you got rid of all his things? She said, yes. I said, what about the bed that you two slept in that you had chosen? She says, I kept it. I said, get rid of it now. Call Salvation Army, have them pick it up, and go get one on sale somewhere now. That bed still holds that energy of this soul. And then I told her exactly what to do to cleanse and clear the area, to repeat some of the things we'd done before. And after she did that, no problem. And to wish that soul, literally a blessing, to wish that soul to move on as they continue their journey through life, of their soul's journey, to repeat and complete their contract, to wish them the best always, no matter what, no matter what issues happen, always wish someone else the best. This is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. Today's topic, we're talking about death and spirits, what happens when we pass. And we'll be back in just a moment.
All genres, all indie, Indie 100.
And we're back. This is Beyond Here Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And you can find more information about me and my work at my new website, antonialau.org. That's A-N-T-O-N-I-A, Lau, L-A-U, .org. All together, lowercase. And today's topic, we're talking about what happens after we die or pass, or someone dies or passes. And I'm very happy to have my in-studio guest, Stephen Brumble, and he is a medium. Now, I am a professional master psychic, and he is a
medium psychic. Been doing it for 15, 20 years now. However, I've always had a contact to the supernatural since I was born. I only came out of my closet about 20 years ago, thanks to meditation. And now meeting people like Antonio.
It's a boy. But what ends up happening is he has a different focus. Now, I just want to share with the audience the difference between spirit guides and spirits, okay? So we can clarify, and I want you to share the information. People are confused again in Western world, especially because we're not taught in society this way. A spirit guide is not grandma, grandpa, loved one, a friend, or relative passed over. They cannot be, because they were just here. They just know just like a skosh more than we do. Your guide, you would have picked between you and the divine universe when you were granted permission to come back to Earth School 101 here. You cannot get here. No one can get here unless they choose a spiritual guide. Nope, this is not your higher self. Your guide is a highly evolved soul that has put themselves in divine service for our benefit. They have completed Earth School 101 after several lives, and the last life, they excelled. And so instead of going on in their spiritual evolutionary journey, they say, you know, I'd like to help the rest of my brothers and sisters on the planet to evolve as well. So please, I'll put myself with all those that are just like them, high souls that really excelled in the last life here. And then the soul that once we are granted permission to come back, we get to choose from that whole bevy of them. But we usually choose one that is aligned toward our life agenda, and they excel at it. So they know how to help us. Your guide or spirit guide is always around. Our guardian angel is always on the right side of the body 24/7. The thing is, they don't judge. Only stupid humans judge. Your guide or spirit guide doesn't judge, okay? Your loved ones and friends always will visit on the left side, and you can see in those shows, John Edwards, James Brad Prague, that is the energetic dynamic level of the body that they go, and they can visit at least after 2 years of passing. It takes that while for some souls that don't have a spiritual background to even understand that they're past. spiritual people 5 months and they can come visit if they feel like it. But there's a lot to do, people to see, places to go, things they got to do. So we need to leave them alone, be happy that they graduated, but leave them alone. So that's the difference. And so your dealing is as a medium. You found, you said 12 years ago you started into it, yes?
Mm-hmm. 15, 20. Well, I've been really working hard with my guides since I met them. And trying to understand, they've been my principal teacher, and my experiences have been baptism by fire, to be honest with you. I mean, I would love to have talked to John Edward or James Van Park when I came out, but then I realized they wouldn't be available. The open psychic sign on the window, I had a bad feeling about that. And so I was basically left to my own devices, and I was really good when I went to a meditation and met my master guide John, and things have really started opening up since.
And that is what you're saying, Stephen. People don't realize that guide, the spirit guide or the guide or guardian angel that we are taught to call it, knows everything. We just think we do with our 2% of the brain that we keep using. That's our problem. That's why the loved ones just say, hi, how are you? Or they say whatever their distress is or let us know. But they can't really, they can ask if they're on the astral plane to help us down here, get extra help. But they aren't, they don't know your life path and your agenda like your guide. Now, after you pass, you know, each one of us passes, we can sit and talk just like we are right now to your own, your guide, guardian angel. And you can say, you know, it was so silly that time. I didn't listen to you. I got in so much trouble. I was laughing joke then. But, you know, I would think it would be better to do it now. Okay. And so babies always see their guide, guardian angel. But it's taught out of them by the time they're five because their parents don't see it. They weren't taught. And so the child stops to see it. And if they choose on a soul level to build it back in or inspire to build it back in. So that's the difference between the two. One is a loved one, a friend or ancestor, relative that knows just a little bit more and loves you. This is a highly evolved soul that loves you more than anyone ever will on the planet. That guide always on the right side of the body, 24/7. Okay. You'd think we'd listen, but that happens.
Sure.
But your work is dealing as a medium with those spirits that are still around. Okay. Can you share with us what that's been for you or how that's?
The hardest thing for me is believing what I'm doing, to be honest. Every time I'm finished with a reading, it's like my mind is absolutely blown. I've only done one complete channel where I watched the clock. Usually I can feel the sensation start to happen. The spirit is arriving, the loved one for the sitter. And I usually look at the clock and I can usually watch 5 minutes at a time jump. As I receive my information, I come back, talk to the sitter, and I see the clock's moved 5 minutes.
Wow.
One time it was gone for 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I looked at my sitter, and he was a big guy. He was bawling his eyes out. And he had to regurgitate back to me what was said. And he walked out of there, and I paced for 2 hours as like a celebration. I couldn't believe I did that, because you can't Google it.
Yes.
You can't Facebook this stuff. And it was like, wow, they were here again. They were here again.
It's interesting because people don't realize as a psychic and as medium, what we do is we lose track of time. Time is only relevant on the earth. So when we're working, I actually hear and see the person's guide / guardian angels. That's how I do the readings for all these many years before it was popular or trendy. And you see those spirits, but there's information transferred. But we are in service at that time. So we're transferring information that's meant for the benefit. You do it through the spirit that has come through for that particular, what he called sitter, is the client that would come and want to hear the information he has for them from someone, a loved one, a friend that has passed away.
Yeah.
So at first, how did you, can I ask how you handle this with your friends and family or coworkers?
Well, when I first started doing this, I mentioned it to my mother, and she was quite accepting. And then I talked to my dad a bit, and he's still a bit of a skeptic. But I'm not, I don't try and make clarification of what I do to a skeptic. If you're a skeptic, that's fine.
Yes.
I'll leave you alone. You're welcome to your own beliefs.
Yes.
But my mother came online with it. And she's very good backing me up now. And she actually had a brother came through, and I learned a major life lesson there, because her brother's my uncle. And I had a really hard time completing one reading. It took me, I think, 5 times for my uncle to come through for my mother before I could actually complete one reading, because I was just in a mess.
You know, it's interesting because of what you're saying is people don't realize when we are talking, we're not just talking. We're using our life force, and we all have a finite amount of life force for that person sitting in front of us for their life to improve the quality. And as a psychic, there are baby psychics, grammar school psychics, I call it, or high school psychics. So there are different levels. Well, people don't realize and stay away from storefront gypsies. Okay, there's a total different echelon of, they may give you 2 minutes of good information, and then you're all cursed with garbage that you got to pay for. That's a lie. But what ends up happening is when that person comes, we have a spiritual, divine duty for our soul to give it in the highest way, for that person to receive information that will improve the quality of their understanding, awareness, soul growth, and their life. So it is extremely important, not a throwaway, just an aside. It can't be done. It has to be done with a divine respect for that person's soul. And we are caught on the mat, so to speak. At the end of our lives, if we didn't do it properly or with a disrespect to the client or to the sitter, as you call it, or into the work itself, if we disrespected the work in any way. So we work to make sure we do protection. You, I'm sure, do the protections of the client and yourself, the area of the room. So because there is a darkly inclined side of the world that we promised to be able to deal with once we came to Earth School 101. I wanted to add, because people think, oh, if I think about it or talk about it, I'll attract it, law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Well, there are 12 laws to the law of attraction, one law of karma. There's several laws by Dr. Wallace Wattles. On my website, you can look them up, and I have them there in an article there. You can just look up law of attraction, you'll find it. But it's important that they understand this is not negative. This is the reality of life. Just because you don't want to see the rest of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Do you remember when doctors in the turn of the century weren't washing their hands before surgery or before delivering children? Yeah. So everybody died of septicemia because of all the germs, microbes on their hand from somebody else or wherever they were that day. Until, was it Madame Curie, the sound found the germs and on the mm-hmm. slide or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
And so then they called her a quack. And then they finally realized these germs were there. So even if you can't see these things, it doesn't mean they don't exist. We know that they exist.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm a believer every time I do it. I must admit, there's a slight level of anxiety before I do this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I have to sometimes look back at some of the files that I have in mm-hmm. my group mm-hmm. and look at what I've done. Because I mostly forget, when I do a reading, the information is not for me.
Yes.
It flows through for me. And I usually give my sitters 24 hours to want any validations done. And if it's any later, they have to start from the scratch. And I might get a few more pings, but it's not for me. I'm living my physical life.
Thank you. Yeah. I detach as well. Mm-hmm. I ask the person at the end of the reading or consultation, they have free will to apply the information or not, then done. I do notice for me, if the person comes again, and they do, mm-hmm. When they get another reading, the guide, guardian angel, for me, they'll pick up where they left off for that person, or they'll remember what I do. But I've done in my career over 50,000 readings. I stopped counting in 2003, but I had to figure out how much I'd done. I'm a little workhorse there, but and that was a low estimate when I did that. And it takes as much energy as possible mm-hmm. When we're doing it. So we have to really build. In other words, I hope that the client or your sitters will understand what that's and respect us for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us, give us an example of one of your cases without naming a person?
The one that started me off, which is one of the first and foremost, was my neighbor's got a house break in, and I had read the mother of the family. I think her father came through. And a few days later, they had a break-in, and her son came into my house and mentioned all this. He had called the cops. Long story short, they ended up staying at my place while the cops were going through their pizza. And the eldest son looked at me and goes, "Sorry, here, you're a medium. You can bring to anybody you want." I said, "For me, it doesn't work that way." I said, "Sometimes you'll get somebody else." And all of a sudden, I got this girl coming through. And I couldn't say her name to save my life. Mm-hmm. It had an L name. He goes, "Yes, her name is whatever her name was." Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get it right to save my life. And every time I said her name, she'd be laughing at me because I couldn't get it right. And he would keep correcting me. But some of the information, like, we took a break because I went to the kitchen with him because he wanted a drink of water. Mm-hmm. And I kept doing this. And I spotted some things I do or say, and I don't believe it for a second when I'm doing it, but I catch myself. So I'm doing this. And I look at him and I said, why is this with this girl, the L girl? I made a video when I dig my fingers in.
Right.
And he goes, oh, she had a mohawk. Mm. And I said, are you kidding me? Mm. The hardest thing is, when I do what I do, is keep the ego out. Because you want to paint the whole picture. And then the other part of the ego will say, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. I may have had mohawk, I don't remember now. But all I had to do is show him, and he did the painting for me.
Right. It's interesting because, exactly, we're not, those of us that are doing it in the professional way that is intended by the divine universe, I can't edit the readings. I have to say it as I'm given. I can't change it. I can't hide from them what I'm getting. I have to tell them exactly what I'm getting. And it's the same thing. So they have, again, free will to apply it or not. But for you, like I said, with that spirit coming through, how long do you know how long that person had been passed?
It was only about a year. She did explain how she passed and it was all bang on. Mm. After that reading, she contacted me again a couple of days later. I was in the kitchen. And so I called the oldest son up again. I said, she's got two friends that I'm thinking of. She's got a picture, like an old cheap Walmart frame sitting on a dresser. And it's got her, the L girl, and the other girl I'm thinking of. And I need to see them now. He said, give me a second. He called me back up 2 seconds later. They want to come over now. I said, tell them to bring that picture. Very unlike me, I met them at the door and I just took the picture. I didn't say hi, I just took the picture.
You were working.
Yeah, I'm working away. I put it under the light and everything I'd written down on a piece of paper before they showed up, I put on another room and I said, you guys got to sit down. And I said to my daughter, there's a piece of paper under the TV in a different room. Can you bring that, give it to the lady there? And I handed the picture back and they just went white.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about that is that would tell me about the soul that was trying to come through, mm-hmm. that they're probably, again, the one that was trapped without realizing how to travel on. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to understand is if someone is learning this quality or learning about this subject matter, we're supposed to learn with a bit of a firmness and authority to tell the soul with love, you should go on to journey home toward that loving, divine, white light. It's okay. But this is my home now, or this is my space now, you need to go on. And you may feel or see the soul that is confused, but you need to let them know that they're not going to be judged. God in the universe doesn't judge, only stupid humans, as I said earlier. But they need to allow themselves to follow. And for loved ones and relatives, what I suggest is after the person has passed is they can ask their guide, guardian angel, to help that loved one's guide, guardian angel, to travel on home to that loving white light. They can also, outside the home, not in, but after the person's passed, on the anniversary of the day that person passed for 5 months, they can burn a white votive candle in a pie tin with aluminum foil or something outside your home, not in, because that makes them come in and they get confused and want to stay again. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we, all those souls traveling. Now, the interesting thing is in my research and studies on the astral plane, those the atheists or those that don't believe in life after life, or what happens is when they pass, they're comatose. They are literally comatose. When they pass, they just stay and they lay. They may wake up 20 years later, go back and see, this is wrong. I should be nothing there. They go back. Some will go back for 500 years and they put them in a special section until they learn that we have more. The soul must continue its journey of discovery and exploration and purification to be more divine, God, like God creator, so to speak. But they won't. So that's an interesting quality, even on the astral plane. Those that are hard, steadfast skeptics or whatever, that nothing exists, for them, they don't see it. Whereas what really happens after we pass is there are actually the work on the astral plane is medical assisters that are assigned to your vibratory number, so to speak. When they get the call, they'll go in when you've passed on. And then they will make sure that whatever your belief system is, the room will look like that, the language, whatever it is. They'll say, are you okay now? Make sure, because it's tough, whether it's an issue with stress or trauma that happened to the body or the mind or whatever. So they make sure you're comfortable after so much time. Are you all right now? And bit by bit, they take that bit away that you believe is heaven or the mm-hmm. astral plane. And they, are you okay now? And they start to reveal more of what really exists. So that you can get comfortable instead of it being a shock. And then once they're ready and they can go on, then we get to relax. It's a beautiful, like I said, We don't have the same struggles, but as below, so is above. As below, above, so is below, so to speak. We get to pick our homes. We get to have classes when we're ready. And we get to then, we also do have our life review. We get to see what we think about what we did. Our guide will sit. So what do you think about that time? Well, I could have done that better, you know. I'll work on that. And there are classes that we go to. And then those brave ones will put in another, after what we term 100 to 125 years here, they'll put in another application to come back and continue Earth School 101. So it's a beautiful process that we all have. So for those loved ones and friends that are experiencing, I would say, spirits in the household, perhaps it's time to say, this is our home now. Let us, you go forward, but help facilitate them to move forward along their journey. Some of them are embittered or whatever happened here, but you are in power. They can't harm, so to speak. Now, the malevolence, malevolent ones is what I'm saying, that word together. You need to call in a professional, okay? I have done house clearings or whatever, and malevolency does exist. There are portals where they continue to come, more darkly inclined, that kind of thing, and that takes a professional. People don't realize the Jesuits were the experts on handling those kind of things. That portion of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, their job is to do this thing. They know it exists to this very day. And so we're not saying have fear. Be smart about it. Be calm. You can seek a professional if you know it's something that you want to connect in your own home. But also to facilitate something malevolent, that is what we don't touch. We don't advise anybody to touch that. There are ways to protect. They don't like the smell of incense burning, Nag Champa being the best or highest. They don't like the color red, ambient music or classical music. That vibratory rate is too high. They don't like it. And so they do like smells, dirty, dark, dank, in places where human energy doesn't go. They'll tend to stay.
And clutter.
And yes. And so clutter big time. That's another thing. So you must watch. Oh, my goodness. You must watch that tendency where it's dirty, dank, and messy. They'll start to come. And that's because they're low vibratory rate. So you have to understand. I always say the difference between going into a pub or a dinky, dirty bar when your car has had problems, you need to use the phone. And you walk in, it's tacky and sticky on the floor, and the phone is all grody and gummy, and you leave and you sit in your car even at night because it's better. Mm-hmm. But if you go into a church or a temple in the morning before nobody has gone in, it's this peaceful feeling that's around you. That's energetically different. They can't stand that energy. So we have to be aware, like you said, of clutter, unclean, smelly, garbagey. That's where the low or darkly inclined energies will hang. So you mentioned that you're sharing your knowledge with a Girl Scout troop.
Yeah.
That'll be coming up shortly. And this is a younger group. What age range is this group?
I'm told they're 14 to 16. They've, as far as I know, they've never had a medium show before. And there'll be discussion beforehand, a Q&A. I'll give them a bit of my path of how I got to where I'm at. Do Q&A. And then after that, I'm teaching them how to meditate.
Very nice. Excellent. We're going to take a pause for a moment, and we'll be back in just a second.
We play favorites. Indy 100.
And we're back. I thank you for that. Remember, you can reach me, Antonia Lau, through my new website at info@antonialau.org. That's antonialau.org for more information about my work and what I do. And for Stephen, as a medium, they can reach you where, please?
You can contact me at an email, B-R-U-M as in mother, B-I-L-L, no spaces, Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at hotmail.com. And I'm sure she'll put a link up for it.
We'll have a link for it.
Yeah, please.
So it's an important thing that we allow. My whole point is there's a lot of charlatans, I'll say the old word, in the profession that really don't care. And when I met you, I sensed this beautiful caring that we have for our humankind, our brothers and sisters, to learn or to evolve. And I also like the fact that you're showing the younger generation, because they'll either go through fear or through Harry Potter phase, or I want them to go for the lighted path and see that that direction is the higher path so they can ease through without being fearful or misusing the gifts or talents and abilities. So ultimately, it's beautiful that you're doing that. You also talked about, we talked about meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just before the last.
Yeah, I do a meditation now. I used to do it at my home, but now I'm currently doing it at a New Age store called the Bent Willow. The moment I walked into that store, the energies are wonderful in there. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was time for me to get out of my OCD. I always did everything at my house, my readings at my house. So I've started benching out. You can also find me through the Bent Willow. It's at 54 Simcoe Street North in Oshawa.
That's Oshawa, Ontario, Canada.
Thank you. And I've started to bench out and start to teach people. My first teacher or students were my kids. I was very on with them about not being afraid of spirits.
Yes.
Never give them fear. You can be angry with them or just ignore them or just tell them to go away or call me and I'll come down and deal with them.
Yeah.
But my kids are very good working with spirits. My daughter's also a mini medium. I'm encouraging her.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a few places with me and she is very good. I'm very proud of her because I didn't have what she's got now. So I'd like to see where she is in 40 years or so.
I have been aware of psychically since I was 5, and my family wouldn't discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
It was academic family, and
exactly.
You wouldn't. So I took my little library card through every adult book off the shelf at that time on and still continue those studies. They should never stop. But it's interesting because as a child, when I get a child, it's the most important thing. I'll tone the reading down, but they get a real reading.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I used to one of the little, I got a little gift from one of my clients. She's an actress in California, a young actress at 9, and I taught her about meditation and her guide, guardian angel, and she gave me a little, you know, resin with a little angel in. The difference I will also note with the spirits that you may see in the guide, guardian angel, in all these years, I've never seen wings. And then I learned many, many years ago, the reason why was because in the 5th century, someone saw this beautiful, glowing, angelic, organogenic, luminescent field around this being that seemed to look as to them as translucent, and it seemed to just glide across to them. And they, to depict that in the pictures and the paintings of the day, they started drawing wings. So that beautiful angelic, undulating, organogenic field is what I see, or when I do a reading with a client, be it by over Skype or FaceTime or in person. And so in all these years, the organogenic field is magnificent, but it's earned by vibratory reading and soul development. Maybe one day we'll have them too. But at this point, they're quite different from the organogenic field that we see around someone that has passed on and is just coming to visit. So do you want to share anything in their experiences or your experiences that you'd like to share with them that they'd like to know about?
I've always, the first few rules with my clients is always write everything down. Because I've had people say no, no, no to me, and I've had a whole hour and a half, and I'm getting frustrated. My spirit guide's getting frustrated. The spirit trying to come through is getting frustrated. And I've had clients actually leave, and they get 10 minutes down the road, and they call me back and say, "Oh, it's my Aunt Mary, not my Uncle Alan. Can I come back?" And I said, "I'm tired. Your Uncle Alan is tired.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. The show is done." And that's very frustrating when people come with certain expectations. I don't know if I'm going to be psychic or I'm going to be a medium.
You know what I'm going to suggest for the audience? They have to understand, when you go to your dentist, when you go to your doctor or for a surgical procedure, you don't tell the doctor how to operate. You give that doctor or that dentist the respect. You sit quietly back and you listen or attend. Don't tell the professional how to do their job. You wouldn't tell the dentist or the doctor. And remember, you have free will to apply that information in your life always or not. There's free will on the planet. So I'm so sorry that they didn't know better. So I get that too. You have to instruct them right at the minute. Excuse me. You're in my hands at this point. And so if they're too harsh, I'm not going to go in there to do a reading consultation. I'll say perhaps another time. Or perhaps this is not a good time. We'll make a reschedule or not at all. We get to decide where we place our life force energy for greater soul growth. And this is because long ago in Atlantis, we were taken advantage of. Okay, those that have the spiritual knowledge that live those lifetimes, we were put on point to apply them. So we are not trained seals. So nobody can come up and say, "Tell me what you know. Tell me, what can you give me? What can you see?" That is disrespectful. Would you go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, can you look this tooth?" If you know he's a dentist, you're not going to do that. So do with the respect of a professional in the field, You have to learn the same protocols. Mm-hmm. And again, to understand that energy, so don't waste time fighting because you're learning something that you're not aware of. And I now record the reading consultations, and sometimes that's easy for them. I let them record it on their iPhones or smartphones if they do it now. And that way they can listen, because people invariably, they think they heard you say something and you didn't say that. And they want you to say what they want to hear, but that's not what you said either. Nope. So it's just human nature. And plus, they're going to forget half the stuff you did tell them. Again, human nature. Mm-hmm. So I find that when they record it on their phone or whatever, it's an easier, because they'll go back and listen and re-listen. And they'll go, they'll get an aha moment. Because that is literally the divine universe still working on that protocol or in their life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's beautiful the way you're teaching children. And you said, it's interesting. Now, a psychic is always best in their own environment. Okay, this has always been the case because they put a certain energy in, protection and everything else. So when we're out and about, we have to protect, again, the place, the people, the whole shot, if we're doing the proper procedures. So that energy is always inherent. But I noted when I looked at your birth data that he has Sag rising, so is I. And that means how we face the world. And that is the spiritual teacher. For the rest of the world, we promise that service. There's several other things, but it was nice to see. So all my life, this is my life. This is not a hobby. This has been my entire life. Now, I was going to be a doctor a long time ago when I was in school and stuff, and then all of a sudden, and still being psychic, and then the shift happened. You could have bet me $1 million I wouldn't be doing this, but I had all this psychic ability and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then I finally remember pulling an Edgar Cayce report on, I think it was a karmic report from the ARE site of my Edgar Cayce Foundation, the ARE. And on the first page, it said, from several lifetimes you have not incarnated, studying universal divine law. In this lifetime, you promise to utilize your psychic ability with divine law to teach people to open to their higher soul growth and levels. That was on the first page. My mouth dropped, you know. And then I found out later on that I had actually been some sort of famous doctor in some past life, and that was why the inclination in this life. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you understand we are not just news, weather, and sports. People may hear me say from time to time. Even if you don't see the air, but you know that if you we hold your nose in 10 minutes, you're going to be a little upset. So we want you to understand, just because you don't see or you don't hear or you don't feel doesn't mean someone that has worked, and this would tell me that Stephen has worked several lifetimes on developing this ability, and it's not for his benefit. It's for the soul growth of many, many others. So with deep respect, I hope your clients that come to you in the future. And again, where can they reach you?
Again, they can reach me through my email, Brumbill, B-R-U-M, as in mother, B-I-L-L, Stephen with a P-H, all one word, Brumbill Stephen, @hotmail.com, and through the Bent Willow.
At the Bent Willow in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, and to Hakanis to hear of that level. I like the fact that you're, again, giving them the opportunity to meditate. We, as souls, promise this lifetime, even through all the distractions that they give us here, to learn to meditate 3 hours out of the day. Now, that's tough for humans. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is, in monasteries, they do it automatically, one in the morning, one before dinner, and one in the evening before sleep or retiring. So I'm going to suggest that prayer and meditation, prayer is when we talk to God, beg God, or hurt to God, or complain. But meditation is when God and divine universe speaks to us. So that be still and know that I am. We have to find moments. But normally as humans, we shower, get dressed, and get ready for the day without even hearing, you know, because we think we know everything. But this is important. You're not taking your position. You're not taking the money in your bank. None of your toys. All you're going to take out of this life is your soul growth based on your experiences, and you're trying to improve what you did for soul growth in previous lives. Now, again, that's not a theory. Remember, I won't discuss or talk about just a belief or a theory. At this point of evolution, we've been here hundreds of lives, probably thousands, most of us, trying to get it right. And this would have been a focus we were doing for the benefit of others. So understand, we promise to help our humankind. I always say everybody we see at the Walmart at Christmas time, we promise to help. Those are our brothers and sisters. And that's worldwide. It's not just nationally. When I see somebody like today, the topics of religion and politics, you've been every religion already. It's confirmed. Edgar Cayce's work confirms it. Literally, Edgar Cayce is the 20th century's foremost psychic and beautiful. He was a Christian mystic. So had this ability he brought in from past life, and all of his work has been recorded. It's been written down some over 14,000 readings in his lifetime. So I'm going to suggest the ARE or my website, antonialau.org, and Stephen's work to enjoy your opening and safely to this knowledge, not to have fear. Fear is something you make up in your mind, okay? Danger is something that's real. That's quite different. And only in the calm eye of the storm, so to speak, or any danger, can you really act properly. And what we want you to learn to become more intuitive, more aligned with what really exists. We have six senses we're taught. But why is it that they only discuss five senses in our world? There's a reason why they don't want you to know. You must understand that there are reasons why they keep distracting us in so many various ways out there. So we promised the divine universe coming this lifetime, but we knew those distractions were there and going to be there. We promise the divine universe, God creator, with our guide to help us to get through that maze, to get through all those obstacles and come out in the higher. I don't want you to get a D in the class. I want you to get A's, A pluses. And some people I've seen in my work with advanced or evolutionary astrology, spiritual astrology, where they didn't do anything in past life because they didn't feel like it was necessary to grow spiritually. It's a wasted life. So Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, they're still working on stuff. So we have a long way to go before we're anything like this. We're not expecting perfection. We're human, therefore flawed. But we're all here on planet Earth because every last one of us is screwed up in some way. So it's important that people realize there's no judgment. God in the universe, divine creator, they've already worked out a system that you're back to retrain, relearn, so to speak. But it's important that you understand everybody has their own path. And religion that man invented is always going to teach about someone else's experience with the divine God creator. Spirituality is your own personal experience, creating a divine connection with God creator on your own, not just on Saturday and Sunday or through ritual. Okay, it's important. We promise to grow toward that phase. And unfortunately, 80% of the population doesn't think outside the box. So if you think outside the box, it may be time for you to look deeper. Again, you can go to my website at antonialau.org, and it's my new website, so I just had a phase there. I also have the previous website in thesecretgarden.com. There's a lot going on there. But for both, it's time for you to open up, if you're watching this show, to your own abilities, to your own knowledge and awareness of what lies beyond what we are taught to think and to believe. Now, I want to thank you today for coming on the show and to show people the difference in what I do as a professional psychic. My gift back to you for taking your time to come on the show today. I'd like to offer you a mini reading. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. And to explain to the audience how I do this, I am psychic, clairvoyant, clairaudient. In fact, all the clairs, the long list of clairs. I just use tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology. I know all those sciences very well, but I prefer to only use them as a third point of reference only because I remain a big and hard and fast skeptic. I am the biggest in the world, I can guarantee you, because there's so much commercialized garbage out there, okay, to throw people off path, to throw people off track, to stop soul growth on the planet for humankind. Do you understand? That exists. So I always use this method, but I actually hear and see the person's guide, guardian angel, then confirm. So there's at least three points going on in the reading with you. So I'm going to ask you for a mini read, because my real reading is 1 hour long. We can't cover that now. But for a mini read, I'm going to ask you one specific question. They're going to tell you the answer to that specific question and all about it. And Stephen, I'll help you phrase the question if you need as well.
Okay. The question. I've already pretty much on a fairly good path, and after already talking to you as well with my spiritual growth, I would like to know more about my physical world and growth.
A little general. Okay, so more specific, please.
Financial.
Okay, I'm going to ask, because people don't understand money this lifetime. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. Mm-hmm. Money is to complete your mission that you promised the divine universe you're going to give the world. Mm-hmm. We're here for soul growth, and we promise each one of us to leave the world better than we came. And right now, money is a facilitator for that. Mm-hmm. If you worry about rent, car payments, all that stuff, you'll never get it done, okay? And so the point is, on the planet, we see the 1% didn't understand the mandate. They're supposed to help the rest of us. So to control, they continue to facilitate the problem with the finances. But more millionaires were made during the Great Depression than any other time in the Great Century because they paid attention to their gut-level intuition. That's the big difference. So I'm going to ask you to uncross arms and ankles. That tends to shut down the energy, keep them apart from one another, be comfortable. But you're not asking me the question because we're human. We're addressing it to your guide, great angel, the divine universe, in your own way, with love and respect of them, Stephen. I'm going to ask you to phrase it perhaps this way. Will you successfully increase your financial base between now and the next year, this next 6 months? What time frame would you like?
My financial success and growth for the next 6 months.
Between now and the next 6 months?
Yes.
And you're not asking me. You're asking in your mind non-verbally as I shuffle to the divine universe. Will you be successful in doing so? I want you to feel in your heart chakra, how happy you feel if that happened. You have tears, joy, jumping up and down. Things that settle, and just concentrate and feel it, and tell me whenever you're ready, just to say stop shuffling. One second, please. My deck has a cross on the back, the Choth deck, but it's a hermetic cross, and the guides or guardian angels or archangels, when it's used properly in the highest way, speak between each one of the cards. Every card itself, it's not the name on the card that it means, but each card can have 25,000 different meanings, not just one. And so the reader is to tune it. And I would just suggest for every deck one has, you stick it in your pillowcase before you use it for 3 nights, or if you've done it, stick it in there for 3 nights. It tones it to what your mind has. But each deck, and I have several, but each deck is attuned to that particular psychic or that particular reader. This one was made originally at the turn of the century, 1800s, late 1800s, to open the God's eye, pineal gland third eye, to the divine universe. And the answer to your question is, on the pathway you're headed, do you understand? Mm-hmm. I have to be honest about this. On the pathway you're headed, that means the attitude and approach you're using right now, we're going to correct that in a minute, it shows me no in the next 6 months. Okay, I would stress 6 to 9 months, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But it shows me, the interesting thing is, we see here that literally the cards, the guides know exactly what he's talking about. The card is called wealth, if I go closer here, and all the gold there is showing. Now, to just go back here, you're asking for that flow from the divine universe is where we're supposed to ask for money, which is excellent. You're asking for life to make it wonderful. And this is every time we connect to the divine universe, they make our world wonderful. It's when we do it on our own that we screw it up. Your attitude or approach to this, remember on the path where you're headed, the answer is more than likely no, okay? So they're going to show me one of the reasons why is the attitude approach. It shows me there may have been a difference of opinion about how this money is to flow with you and another female, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and my theory on a difference of opinion, make a compromise. If there's one adult in the room, there is no argument or disagreement. So a compromise may work for both. It also shows me there is an opportunity, Stephen, coming to you for a job that you will absolutely, fantastically, absolutely love, okay? It is a gift from God and the universe. They're waiting with Steve Brumble's name right on it right now. When you walk in the door, they'll know that guy. They will feel it or sense it. But there's a tendency for you not to heed or hear or be guided toward that opportunity. So when I say the word tendency, it means change that opportunity to open. It also shows me on the path where you're headed, sometimes there's people in the life that, make sure you're open. Sometimes I can hear more from the guide, but to close it, shuts it off, like putting the battery backwards in the phone. It won't work very, very well. But it shows me there is a female in the life that could be air or fire sign dominant that doesn't believe this will want this for you, this financial opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that could be Sag, Leo, Aries is fire, or air is Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, that is not in good aspect to you or his wanting a financial a positive base. Now, God and the universe's influence on this particular question is showing me, Stephen, that God and the universe is going to produce one job is going to lead to the ultimate thing you've always wanted in your life, an ultimate job. This is where it'll be like a normal day, a normal day, a normal day. And then you're so skippy, happy, happy to get this call that you'll go there. We're getting goosebumps or frisson this call. Your guide, guardian angel wants you to know it's being said. It's very important to know to pay attention. I'm hearing them. That's how they feel to us. But it shows on the pathway ahead and seeing, by the way, they're showing this. You're going to be so thrilled that this comes to pass. And good pay, good money, notice that. So it's not in the next 6 months, but 6 to 9, I heard, is a possibility based on your attitude and approach. And this is not just money coming for him. This is money coming from the divine universe, from God created. That's the best source. And that means not just money to pay the bills. This is money to have a good life, get good stuff, and be able to keep yourself financially in a comfort level. What happens is we can't do our mission if we're struggling to worry about how to maintain all that other level. It also shows me on the path where you're headed as the outcome here. Did someone recently pass away in your life in the last 6 months to 2 years at the max? Or has someone been sick or ill, Stephen?
Yes.
Okay. When you hear news, and that may come when someone passes on, what happens is we want to be happy. Remember, be happy, celebrate. They just graduated. Okay, but this person, when we get the news from someone passing, it's to teach us to literally pay attention to our lives. All of a sudden we go, wow, life is pretty short. I better do this and this to get out of our own way. That's the gift of when we hear someone has passed on. This person is asking the extra special blessing to Stephen. They say, you know, he was such a good guy. He's trying to do good work. I want him to have this financially. And this extra special lesson, this is better than anything they would leave it in the will. Better than any tangible thing there. The universe gives that extra special blessing into the life. So on the path we headed, it shows me more than likely not. But it also shows me, Stephen, you have this ability to ask the divine universe for what you're getting. He's pointing above and pointing below in the life and have it happen in the life. That's why the guy is grinning, the magician. And it shows me you're not utilizing this. We're going to take the rest of it off the air for him to finish here. But I want to thank you all. Thank you for being with us today, Stephen Brumbel. You can look for the link on under the description. And I want to thank you all. And I want to wish you all the best.
Cooing blows onto my face. Lucky charms growing tired, but I keep the pace. Unwind, sweet time, let it come back to find all the seed we sow. All going not known on the back porch, on the back porch. Na 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 na, right round you. It's spinning on, right round. Comes back to you, yeah. Fate's arm is there. Right here, this mountain has got an old top. Listen, wind go whisper. Watch it pop, there ain't no stop. Let it shine right through, yeah, the way karma do. And what have I found? As above, so below, yeah, so below. There on the back shelf, wiki wiki woe. You're mine. If what you find is it what you sow, then what you grow, 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 what you grow. From the back porch, on the back porch, on the spinning right round you. Thank you. fate, summer's there. Oh, yeah. Like your mother, charm is near. So shine, my dear. Let it shine right through. Yes, we know how. In this waking time, it would have our phone slowing down, yeah, slowing down. Concrete, y'all pushing me to compete. There's a fight there on the back street. Wiki wiki woe of your mind. If what you find is it what you sow, and what you grow, 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 what you grow from the back porch on the back. Let it come.